Okay, so excited to kick off this four-part series as we get into Elul. Source each over there. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Four approaches to tshuva. So we're going to be discussing four different major tshuva personalities over the next few weeks. And where else to possibly begin than with the Rambam. So about leadoff, so I can do the Rambam. Most for 1 second. And what we'll try to do in the shiur is I'm going to try to highlight six like main insights or takeaways from the Rambam Silchas Tshuva. Now, the Rambam Silchas Tshuva is 10 chapters long. I was taught growing up to try to read one parak every single day of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. I've had similar practice. It's much more manageable, you know. Even you get to the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, the next like main piece in the Rishonim, and it's much, much more in detail. The Rambam, on the one hand, is short enough to be digestible every single year. On the other hand, deep enough, being the Rambam, that this is from the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, the laws of repentance. Although it's probably a bad translation for Tshuva from the Rambam. Deep enough that, you know, you open Rav Soloveitchik's essays in Ala Tshuva. And you know, he's mining the first halacha for like the first three or four extended pieces are all just on halacha aleph, and then it's okay years later, and they say now we can move on. It's on halacha base. So we'll try to distill, I think, just a few of the main takeaways. So what are some of the unique contributions? And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be discussing. Everyone has tshuva, like, you know, to some degree, tshuva is tshuva. Like, we talk about it so much every year, but the basics we all know. Like, you know, we should do tshuva. What are the unique contributions that each one of the Gedolei HaMesorah are going to make? So that's what we'll try to distill. What does the Rambam in particular, what are some of the things that he brings to the table? So the first one I wanted to highlight is just the sheer existence of a Hilchos Tshuva. We may take it for granted that there are books and shiurim, etc., all about tshuva. We could really argue that this traces itself back to the Rambam. There's no Mesachas Tshuva. There's no extended discussion in the Mishnayos. There's no extended discussion in the Gemara. It's basically one daf in Maseches Yuma. The Rambam scours, and if you look in, I think I actually have it in my bag in the back, of Krakowski, the Avodas HaMelech, the uncle of the Rav, has a book. Have you seen this like old green book on Sefer Hamada, where he encyclopedically goes through, here's the obscure Sifri, here's the obscure Medrash Haggadah, where the Rambam got this and that. The Rambam goes through all of Chazal, scouring together to put together this Hilchos Tshuva, this one organized corpus. It's not obvious that such a thing should exist. The Bahad, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, the Rambam's predecessor in counting the 613 mitzvos, does not count a mitzvah of tshuva. The Rambam is the first of those who count the mitzvos to say there's a mitzvah of tshuva. There's going to be an area of halachos of tshuva. This needs to be expanded. I once heard Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik comment about Hilchos Talmud Torah. He said, if we just open up a Shulchan Aruch, we'd have no sense of the importance and the centrality of learning Torah in Yiddishkeit. Okay, there's a mitzvah putting up a mezuzah, and a mitzvah davin, and a mitzvah aluv, and there's a mitzvah, you know, simin whatever, and Shulchan Aruch about learning Torah. You have to live Yadus to understand the centrality of Talmud Torah. In a sense, that's also the same for tshuva, isn't it? Like, if we have one, Daf Yomi spends one day in 7 years discussing tshuva. It doesn't capture how massively important tshuva is to our experience as Jews. And the Rambam is trying to rectify that. He is putting together everything he can to create a Hilchos Tshuva. And if we look at Hilchos Tshuva, not only does he create it almost out of nothing, but I think it's very important that he puts it, the location is in Sefer Hamada. I would not have thought that tshuva should be in Sefer Hamada. And I'll turn this over to science, knowledge. I would have put tshuva in Sefer Ava. I would have thought that tshuva should be together Hilchos Tefillah. No? We say Slach Lanu, we clap Al Chen, right? Isn't tshuva like related to davening? I would have thought that I have Kriya Shema, Brachos, and Tefillah. Those are all mitzvos Bein Adam Lamakom, and I would think that tshuva should be in there as well. The Rambam though did not do that. The Rambam puts Sefer, he puts Hilchos Tshuva in Sefer Hamada, And you see, that's very, very important for how he thinks of tshuva. And I think the clearest reason why he does that comes clear if we look at the structure of those 10 chapters of Hilchos Tshuva we saw before. So if you look at the table over here, you'll notice, right? So Parak Aleph is kind of weird. I feel like the stained glass in the main sanctuary. We've got the Aleph and the base going left to right. But you've got Parak Aleph talking about the methods of achieving kapara. So that's where the Rambam says you get kapara through tshuva and through karbanos and through punishment. Whenever one wants to achieve atonement, he has to say vidui. We'll talk more about that later. And Parak Beis, he talks about the procedure of tshuva, how exactly one does tshuva, then how Hashem judges, Parak Dal, who's not able to get tshuva. But then all of a sudden, Parak Hey and Parak Vav, smack dab in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam has a discussion of Bechira Chafshes. He has a discussion of free will. And as Rav Lichtenstein writes, the Rambam is radical. He goes beyond any of the other Rishonim in his essentially unlimited view as to how much free will HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us. Just a couple of the highlights here in source number one. So he begins Parakeh by telling us, Rishus l'chol adam nesuna, everybody has permission. Imratza l'hatos atzma l'derach tova v'liyos tzadik rishus b'yado. He wants to be good, he wants to be righteous, he can do that. If he wants, he can be evil. There is no limit. Halacha Beis, the Rambam says something shocking, and it'll be shocking for anyone to say, but it's even more shocking of all people for the Rambam. Because let's remember, one of the Rambam's 13 main principles, one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, is that there is nobody like Moshe Rabbeinu. And we cannot think that there's a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, of all people, what does the Rambam say in Halacha Beis by the bold? Ein Adever Kein, don't think that you have no chance that you're just predestined to be whatever you're going to be. Ela kol adam ro'e lo lios tzadik. Anybody can be righteous. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody here in this room, the Rambam says, has the potential to achieve the madriga of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Zucker, you're... Okay, fine. So you can fine. The Rambam's not actually contradicting himself. Very good. But still, the basic point holds, okay? For of all people, for the Rambam to say that nobody could be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet casually say that every single Jew could tell it to your shir, okay? They could all be like Moshe Rabbeinu, or O Rasha Ki Yeravam, they could be as wicked as Yeravam ben Nevat. You know, the worst of the worst. He brings the golden calf worship back to Yadus. Okay, I don't know. Do we see Rav Menavat over here? Murderers and idolaters? The Rambam says we can go all the way in either direction. There is no limit. Ochacham osachal. It could be wise, it could be a fool. Racham anu achzari. It could be merciful, it could be cruel. Okila, Yoshua, Vachin, Sharadeus. All other attributes. It's all up to us. Don't blame nurture. Don't blame nature. We have the potential to decide. The Rambam thinks that is essential to what it is to be a person. Then he tells us the next bold, the fichach. Therefore, ra'u lo livkos l'konin al chata'av u'masha asal l'nafsho u'gmala ra'a. Therefore, since we have total free will, how important is it for us to do tshuva? Because there are no excuses. There is no saying, well, I did X because I had this, I was having a bad day, and I did that because that's how I was raised, and I made this mistake because that's just what I saw my parents do time and time again. We have total free will. And the Rambam says that this makes tshuva so imperative. And what's interesting is the Rambam doesn't say this only once. This is the Rambam at the beginning of chapter 5. And then after the Rambam discusses free will for two chapters, Parak Hey and Parak Vav, look at source number two. He then moves back into Parak Zion, where he tells us, Ho'il u'rishus kol adam nisuna lo kamo shebiarnu. Since everyone has permission, everyone has the potential to do whatever they want, yishtadil adam lasos tshuva. So it is so important for a person to try to do tshuva. So at the beginning of his discussion of free will, the Rambam links it to tshuva. And then at the end of his discussion of free will, the Rambam links it to tshuva. The Rambam is not a man in the habit of repeating himself. But this is a point that is so essential. For the Rambam, tshuva and free will go hand in hand. It needs to be in Sefer Hamada. And one reason is because the Rambam says, free will is the Iker Gadol and the Amud HaTorah. It is a fundamental, uncompromising principle. We all have unlimited potential, but along with that unlimited potential means that there are no excuses. That could be one reason why Hilchos Tshuva, which the Rambam thinks of as so important and he needs to create it into existence, belongs specifically in Sefer Hamada. And I think there's another reason why it belongs in Sefer Hamada as well. And this is another contribution of the Rambam, another unique perspective of his towards Tshuva, and this is our second main point. And that is the Rambam's view of the connection between Tshuva and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. Now you feel that, it's like, well, of course, Tshuva is about my relationship with God. I don't think it's actually true. Usually we think of Tshuva, we think somebody did something wrong, so he needs to undo it. He needs to apologize. It doesn't really fit into the broader framework of my general religious life. What is the connection? What is the relationship between me and HaKadosh Baruch? And yet, the Rambam decides, of all places, to put his description of how one should serve God, that one should serve God out of love, not out of fear. Avod me'ava. And the Rambam's celebrated description of what that looks like, where he talks about somebody who is lovesick, he thinks about the person he loves all the time, and he says, more than that, more than the love of a man for a woman should be the love of a person for God. That goes in all places in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam thinks that Tshuva is all about relationships. If you turn to page number 2, Rosenzweig has a fascinating insight. See this same pattern in source 4, source 5, source 6, and source 7. Every single time the Rambam mentions the mitzvah to do tshuva, look at what he adds in. So the Sefer HaMitzvos, he tells us, we have a mitzvah, hi shetzivanu, lehesvados al havonos v'hachatayim shechatanu, we should confess, let's translate vidui as a confession, for the sins that we've had. We have to come back to that in a little bit. Lifnei hakel, you do this before God. Vilomar osam im hachuba. And vidu has to be done together with tshuva. The Rambam says it has to be before Hashem. And if you look in source number 5, when the Rambam has abbreviated Minyan HaMitzvos at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam has a short recap, one sentence for every single one of the 613 mitzvos. And again, he tells us that this has to be done lifnei Hashem. It's done before God. In the Koteret, the title to Hilchos Tshuva, he says, Sheyashav hachote mecheto, a person has to do tshuva. Where? Lifnei Hashem. Tshuva is always before God, because again, it's always in the context of that relationship. It's part of tshuva a broader... What?
Tshuva or Hebrew?
So that's exactly going to be letter number C, because you're sensing the complicated relationship between these, right? But the koteret is probably the most provocative one for tshuva. Sheyashav hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem. Right? In the koteret, source number 6, he says the tshuva is being done before God, right? In source 4, in source number 5, he's putting the focus on the vidui.
What does it mean before Hashem? I mean, what does that mean? You know, in shul or, you know?
Everything's before Hashem.
Exactly.
Internally? Exactly. Internally? Before God.
It sounds like it's a relationship comment.
Right? A relationship? In other words, hey God, I'm repentant. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there are two levels to answer this. One is in the specific kind, it fits some of the Rambam's context better than others. One way to explain, and this is not so helpful for us, is in the context of karbanos. So one could say it means in the Beis Hamikdash. But as Howard's saying, this is a general principle, right? It sounds like tshuva is done before. There's no such thing as tshuva that's not before Hashem. It's a relationship mitzvah. Yeah, right. Now there are additional, you know, with the Rambam in Perek Beis, we say he talks about the procedures of tshuva, and so in that context, he says for tshuva made adam l'chaveiro, as we all know, it requires more than just man and Hashem being in the room, but that's an essential part of it as well. Absolutely, right? You see, it's all 4 times. So you know, you got to get to the advanced philosophers to know what exactly lifnei Hashem means, but at least for our purposes, thinking of it as the context of relationship, right? And not just a narrow mitzvah of, oh, I broke something and so that needs to be fixed. It's part of a broader, part of Avodas Hashem. Okay, which again reinforces why it belongs in Sefer Hamada, which is where the Rambam talks about, you know, the mitzvah of imitating Hashem and the Yesodei HaTorah and Talmud Torah. That's all what for the Rambam Yesod Sefer Hamad is all about. Okay, on to themes number three and theme number three. I didn't forget to put the Marmokomos in for source for section C. I just didn't want to use too much extra paper because, as Dr. Goldstein was pointing out a minute ago, the Rambam does something very funny. He keeps on talking about vidui when he thinks you think he's going to talk about tshuva. And this is just an important thing for us to highlight. So, yeah, the problem is that the Rambam sometimes makes it sound like the mitzvah is not the tshuva. Makes it sound like the mitzvah is the vidui. So let's read carefully source 7 for a second. This is the very opening to Hilchos Tshuva. And the Rambam says, Kol mitzvah sheba Torah bein aseh bein lo saseh. All mitzvahs, positive or negative. Im avar adam alachas meyen. Somebody violated one of them. Bein bezadim, bein beshkaga. Could have been intentional, could have been accidental. Kishiyase tshuva. When he does tshuva, and I'm not translating that word tshuva because I really think repentance is a bad word. Tshuva, it's not repenting, it's returning. It goes back to the relationship point. It's not just about fixing what's broken. It's about me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a return. So when he does tshuva, v'yashuv mecheta, when he does tshuva and he returns from his sin, chayav lehezvados lefnei HaKel Baruch Hu, he has to say vidu, he has to confess before Hashem, Shneamar pasakin b'midbar, which we'll go back to in a little bit. Isha isha ki yasu, a person does a sin. Vizvadus chatasam asher asu. We'll talk about the specific sin a little bit later on. Ze vidui dvar. This is a reference to the confession to the vidui. Vidui ze mitzvah saseh. This is black and white. This vidui is a positive commandment. So that opens up the very pressing question. We were talking at the beginning of this year. Look at the innovation of the Rambam. He creates Hilchos Tshuva. There was no Parak and Shas about Tshuva. There was no Masachta and Shas about Tshuva. There's one daf at the end of Maseches Yuma, and the Rambam turns that into Hilchos Tshuva. Now, wait a second. But there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah is just the vidya. Is it the case that there is no mitzvah to do Tshuva? It's optional. So there's an infamous discussion of this, at least it's infamous in certain circles, those of the Rav's Talmidim, who Mechas Chinuch says, yeah, it seems like, according to the Rambam, there's no specific commandment per se to do tshuva. He says, what's this? And he says, there's not even, because he gets like kind of all caught up in this like technical discussion. You know, somebody, let's say somebody does tshuva, okay, but he doesn't say a vidui. So did he nullify the mitzvah of vidui? And then, this is tshuva effective because he didn't do the vidui properly. So he gets like kind of cut up in some of the technical details. Mechas Chinuch concludes and he says, it seems like for the Rambam, the only mitzvah is vidui. Now, flag of the play. How can there be a mitzvah of vidui, but no mitzvah of tshuva? I mean, the fundamental piece is the tshuva. So Mechas Chinuch says, oh, I'll tell you. We have this in the Rambam all the time. The Rambam will count mitzvos where it's really just a section of halachos. The Rambam says his whole view of the 613 mitzvos is he says these are like the main branches of a tree. The Rambam divides all parsha bal peh into 613 categories. That's how the Rambam thinks of mitzvos. But not all of those 613 mitzvos are things we need to do. So for example, the laws of inheritance, the Rambam counts as a mitzvah. The laws of gerushin. There's no mitzvah to give a get. There's no mitzvah of inheriting money. It's just these are when this happens, this is the procedure to follow. There are a number of examples of the Rambam like that. And so the Mechas Chinuch suggests that's exactly what's happening with tshuva. If somebody is going to do tshuva, then the way it needs to be done, the procedure is through vidu. Just like if somebody's going to divorce their wife, the procedure to do it with is with a get and not through some other vehicle. So it's
so is tshuva then a mitzvah or not a mitzvah?
So according to the Mechas Chinuch, it is not. When somebody does tshuva, there's a specific prescription for how it has to be done.
You're saying Bereshit is on the bracha, the third compartment, to return back to God?
According to the Mechas Chinuch, according to the Rambam, yes. Now, the Rav and others go ballistic. Say it's impossible. It's impossible. So the problem is, Mechas Chinuch, Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam did say, the vidui is the mitzvah saseh. So how do we explain? Yeah, what do you think?
Question.
Yeah.
Off topic but related.
Great.
If you have to say vidui when you bring it over, okay,
Yeah.
And if you don't say bidui, the Bikur makes accept considered a full mitzvah. I don't think you've totally completed your mitzvah. So would you then treat it the same way here? If you don't do your bidui and you do your tshuva, it's the same thing as.
It's an interesting analogy. The Mishnah does have a whole category of people, Elim Evin Ve'in Korin. There is a whole category of people who bring Bikurim but do not recite the relevant passage.
Right. So then Shiva by itself would be sufficient then?
Could be, but we have to open up Hilchos Bikurim. I don't think the Rambam says, when you bring Bikurim, say the passage, and saying that passage is a mitzvah. I don't think the Rambam has a formulation like that. It's a very provocative formulation. But the Rav's explanation, which is just, we should know it because it's a classic Rav idea, which he applies in a number of different contexts, the Nevi'im tells us every 5 minutes, Shabbat Shuvah, we're going to say, Shuvah Yisrael, Hashem Elokacha. Do tshuva. The Nevi'im don't say when you do tshuva. Yeshaya didn't get up there saying, hey, if you want to do tshuva, here's how to do it. He says, let's go, tshuva, come on, step it up. Of course it's a mitzvah. But there are cases in halacha, davening, for example, where we have a distinction between the maisa mitzvah and the kiyama mitzvah. Right? Here is how the physical details, as opposed to the underlying thing that you're doing. Davening and mourning are the two classic examples the Rav develops elsewhere. Davening, the mitzvah, the technical physical mitzvah is to say the words. But what's the real underlying fulfillment? The serving of God, right? Avodah Sheba Lev. Likewise, mourning. The physical mitzvah is done with the various practices of mourning that we have, but the underlying fulfillment of that is the emotional feeling involved in mourning. The Rav says that's exactly the case when it comes to tshuva as well. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is the repair of the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like we were talking about before. How exactly that's done, the specific vehicle, is through is the tshuva. Through vidui, sorry.
It's conceivable you could do everything by the book. You do vidui, you do charata, whatever, but not really mean it.
Of course.
And then you don't do tshuva then. It's not tshuva, even though you've done everything.
Zippo, exactly. Exactly. Okay, we're a little pressed for time, so I'm just going to go through D very quickly. The Rambam has an important insight for us to think about as we get towards Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the Rambam says there's one time of the year where tshuva is a mitzvah. But it's very interesting the way the Rambam says it. The Rambam says, on Yom Kippur, we have the time of tshuva, we have the opportunity for forgiveness, and therefore we have to do tshuva. It's a very important idea. Rabbi Chassin has an entire sicha all about this in the tshuva sichot that they published. Tshuva as an opportunity and tshuva as an obligation. Where the fact that Hashem is telling us, you know, I'm here, I'm available, that in and of itself can create its own obligation. It's Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo. If Hashem is available, that means that we need to respond. Again, going back to the relationship piece. Now, the letter E, so we've got a little time to get these both in, the question of specific tshuva or general tshuva. This is an idea that Rav Lichtenstein really develops at length in a number of different sichot, and he shows how this is something that the Rambam really, really drives home in his Hilchos Tshuva. When we do tshuva, what are we doing tshuva for? So every year, we all hear the same shmooze. Don't focus on everything, because you're never going to change. Huh? Okay, find the one thing. It's a good message. We hear this every year. Find the one thing. One small difference, and then year by year, you can change things a little bit at a time. It's a very important message, and it happens to be, it seems to emerge from the very beginning of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Because let's go back to that halacha, source number 7. When the Rambam told us how to do tshuva, so he quoted a pasuk in Bamidbar. Isha isha kiyasu vigomer. Okay, what was that vigomer? What's being talked about? What is the source the Rambam is quoting when he first begins the mitzvah of tshuva and the mitzvah of vidui? So it's a pasuk in Naso. Probably don't even remember this mitzvah's on the books because the drashas every year for Naso are about Berkas Kohanim, are about Nazir, about Sota, the exciting mitzvahs. Oh, there's a kind of obscure mitzvah over there, Gezel Hager. Somebody stole from a convert. The convert died, so it doesn't leave any relatives. They're unable to pay back. What exactly do you do? So the Torah tells us about the method to atone for such a theft. Okay? That's a very, very, very specific problem. You know, You have one mistake, and you have one fix. So Rav Lichtenstein shows the Ramban, when the Ramban talks about the mitzvah of tshuva, he does not quote a specific, narrow, limited aveira. The Ramban quotes from Nitzavim, where the Torah says, after the tochacha, when you did everything wrong, and it was a disaster, v'shav ta'ad Hashem lukacha, you're going to return to Hashem. What are we returning from in Parshas Nitzavim, after the tochacha? It's not a return from one aveira. It's not, okay, I'm going to pick on one thing to work on this year. It's a total return. V'shav ta'ad Hashem lukacha. Is tshuva specific or is tshuva general? Rav Lichtenstein points out that the Rambam in the beginning, the first few prakim of Hilchos Tshuva, it's all focused on one aveir. There's such thing as tshuva for specific sins. I do a cheshbon, I see, I did this wrong, I need to fix it. I did that wrong, I need to fix it. The centrality of the vidui. I have to have a very detailed itemized list. You can't just be one of these, you know, free-floating feelings tshuva. No such thing for the Rambam. It's got to be listed. But tshuva is also much, much more than that. So then in Perek Zion, where the Rambam returns to tshuva, after discussing free will, remember he said at the beginning of his discussion of free will, he said it's so important to do tshuva. Then after he discusses free will, he said, if you can do whatever you want, you better do tshuva. The Rambam then returns to talk about the greatness of tshuva in Perek Zion. And Rav Lichtenstein points out that here, this tshuva is a total tshuva. It is much, much broader than one specific sin. And just a couple of examples of the way that that manifests itself. The tshuva here, the Rambam says in Halacha Gimel, is not only for specific sins. The Rambam extends it to general attributes. Someone has anger, someone has jealousy, someone feels greed. There's no specific masa avera here per se. We're talking now about a personality transformation. That's now the goal of tshuva. Much, much, much broader. If you go back to where was... go back to Halacha Aleph, source number 2 in the first page. So the Rambam there said, Hovil urishus kol adam nesuna lo, since everyone has free will, yishtadel adam lasos tshuva. Should try to do tshuva. Okay, there are 613 commandments. You know what a commandment means? It means do. You must. Do. Right? It's Yoda's famous line, right? No try. Right? Do or don't do. There are no, Rambam doesn't tell you, try. Try to avoid avodah zarah. Okay? Try not to murder. Try not to steal. Try to take lulav and esrog. No. We have commandments. We have obligations. What is this business of try? This is a person should try to do tshuva. And he also points out, here in Parak Zion, the Rambam is no longer saying, when a person sins, he should do tshuva. Who's the Rambam talking to now in Parak Zion? He's talking to everybody. Everybody has this obligation. Tshuva in Parak Zion going now towards the end of Hilchos Tshuva, it becomes, right, it goes back to that point about relationships. Everybody has things that they could be doing better. Everybody could improve the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Could that have been a specific aveira? Maybe. Could it be personal character traits? Maybe. Could it be my whole worldview needs to change? V'shav ta'ad Hashem lakach, I need to change and transform everything. All of the above. The Rambam has both. The specific and the general, they both coexist in the beginning and at the end. The last point to highlight is how the Rambam goes out of his way time and time again to talk about the unlimited power and efficacy of tshuva. Now, the Rambam is not somebody who usually talks in exclamation points. He's giving us mitzvos. And yet, the Rambam in Parak Zion, Halacha Zion, he exclaims, Kama ma'ula ma'alas ha'tshuva. And the Rambam begins to wax poetic about how yesterday the person was distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of our relationships. He was davened, his tefillos were ignored. He did mitzvos, the mitzvos are torn up. And then tshuva can create a total and radical transformation. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, the people who have no share in the world to come. And he goes into great detail. Classic Rambam. Organizing, listing, categorizing. You want to know what's a min? Here are the people who are min. Who's not bikores? Here is who's not bikores. You want to know who's a kofer? These aren't just insults that all mean the same thing in the thesaurus. These are very specific terms for the Rambam. After exhaustively telling you, every single person doesn't have a chelek in the Olam Haba, What does he make sure to tell us? Source number 13, the last, very end of Parak Gimel. B'med v'ar amurim. When do we say this person has no share in the world to come if he dies without tshuva? Avlim shav mirisho meisu bal tshuva reiza bnei olam habash in lachadavar homi bnei tshuva. There's nothing that can stop tshuva. Ram continues, even if somebody spent his whole life kafar be'ikr, he denied and rejected everything his whole entire life, and he died in his tshuva the last day, that's going to save him. No limits. One chapter later, Perek Daled, the Rambam talks about the things which prevent tshuva. And again, in exhaustive detail, here are the things which prevent you from doing tshuva for reason X. Here are things which make it unable to do tshuva for reason Y. All the things. You know, somebody embarrasses people, he doesn't know who they are, for example. He can't do tshuva because hakiyas mechila. And yet, after all of those things, the Rambam concludes that as well. And he says, kol elu hadzar mechayot zibahen, all these things, afal pishama akmenes a tshuva, ein mon inosa. They may hold tshuva back, but you know it's like they said about Marshall Falk back in the day. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. Tshuva can't be stopped. It can only be contained. Ma'akvin be'ein monin. There's no stopping tshuva. If we put our hearts to it, every single person, bechir chafshis, freedom of will, every single person has unlimited potential. Point number one, it's about the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which we're all trying to repair. Point number two, there is a specific context to this. The way, the fulfillment is on the inside. But we have to go through and itemize the point about the vidui, and then keeping in mind the unlimited power of tshuva, and how it's both for the specifics and the generals, those are some of the contributions of the Rambam, beginning the discussion of tshuva.